Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Okay. Good to be here. Happy to be in the house of the Lord today. How about you? Praise God. Once a year, usually about this time, I get a chance to come up and see the family, be a part of the festivities of Christmas, and it's always a good time. But very, very excited about the word of the Lord. Very excited about the things that God's doing and the opportunity this morning to be able to preach to you the things that God's been working in the church, working in my heart, working among his people, the testimony of Jesus. There is nothing greater than the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I look forward this morning, hopefully, to bring you a word that's going to encourage you and a word that's going to uplift your spirits and the thoughts of God. And God is really, really doing some fabulous things with his people. I had a chance on Monday to speak a little bit to you guys. We did get cut off a little bit short towards the end, but that's all right. We're going to finish some of those same thoughts here today. And just very, very thankful. The Lord's doing a great work in the church in Chicago. I know he's doing a great work here in Visalia. Just having the chance to speak to each of you, I get to hear it in your speech. I get to hear it in your testimony. I get to hear what God's doing for you. And you guys are not shy to tell me about what God's doing for you. And you guys are actually very enthusiastic about telling me what God's been doing for you. So that's very awesome. That's good to have that conversation, that testimony. But give me a chance. I want to talk to you for a few minutes here this morning. And I got a few scriptures we'll read. But let me start in St. John, chapter 14 and verse 15. So we'll find out. I think most people probably listen. I don't think we got a lot of people flipping over their phones and Bibles, but maybe a few. We'll see. St. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Man, I'm going to stop at just a couple points here because it's the word of God, man. This is the good word of God. He says, I'm going to give you a comforter that's going to abide with you forever. Forever. Think about that word forever. He's talking about something that's never going to pass away, something that's not going to perish, something that is eternal, that is going to stay with you forever and forever and ever. And that's the word of God. That is salvation. That is eternal life. That is what Jesus Christ came to give, is eternal life. I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And he said, even the Spirit of truth, he called that comforter the Spirit of truth. He says, in whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither does it know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. Man, this is a powerful thing. He's talking about the Comforter. In other places, it's called the Spirit of Truth, but in other places, he said, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will I give to you, and it will be a Comforter, and it shall abide in you, and it will bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I have spoken to you. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. I'm going to send the Comforter to you. And he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know, Emmanuel, what that means? That means God with us. A son shall be born, and he shall be given to the world, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God's not going to leave us in a place where we're left here in this earth to figure it out on our own. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it without the Spirit of God. We couldn't do it without the Comforter. We couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost. We couldn't do it without the Spirit of truth. And he sent that to us because he says, I'm not going to leave you without comfort. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send my Spirit to you. And he said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you shall see me. You shall see me. You know why the world couldn't see him? They didn't know him. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know he was the Son of God. He didn't know he was a salvation, the word of the Lord, eternal life in their presence. They didn't know him. But he told them, his disciples and those that followed him, he said, you know me. You know where I'm going. You know, think about that. You know where I'm going. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place that where I am, you shall be also. Look at the comforting words of the word of the Lord that he gave us. You're not alone. I'll be with you. I'm going to be in you. I'm going to send you the comforter. I'm going to send you the spirit of truth. You're not doing this by yourself, guys. This is a work of God, a work of the Spirit of God in us. And now I want to read the most important thing, the thing in my lap, my iPad right now that is highlighted. He says, because I live, you shall also live. Because I live, you shall also live. So I'm going to pull a page from Keith Hickey's book here. And I'm going to ask you guys to say it with me, because he lives, I also live. Say it with me, because he lives, I also live. Because of his life that he provided and he lives, we're now going to learn how to live and to walk in that life. And there, what I want to talk to you about is the spirit of resurrection, the spirit of life that he walked in, that Jesus walked in. Everywhere he went, he was walking in the mindset of the spirit of life and resurrection. Jesus, a man approved of God by the works that he did. I mean, if you look at the life of Jesus, we can look at him and say, you know what? This was the most giving, the most generous, the kindest man we've ever seen, the works that he did. And you know, we're talking this morning about the works of giving and having compassion. No one had more compassion than Jesus. When the disciples and the multitudes followed Jesus, he was preaching the word, and he looked upon them and he said, you know what, they're hungry. And he said, does anyone here have any fishes and loaves? He took them, and he broke them, and he multiplied them, and he fed the multitudes. It said because he had compassion upon them. He loved them. He cared for them. But here's a question. When he did that and he fed them the loaves and the fishes, was that the end? Did that sustain them forever? Was that eternal life? Or was it something that they would then hunger again? They would eat, he would feed them, but would they hunger again? Or was Jesus showing them in just a similitude, in a shadow, in a type? If you follow me, I'll feed you. But if you follow me to where I am going, I will feed you the hidden manna that is from heaven. And if you eat this bread, you will never hunger again. If you drink the waters that I will provide for you, you will never thirst again. But in that time, in the earth, while Jesus was doing his work, he was working in the works of God. It says in the book of Acts that he was a man that was approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs. They were a witness to him. Those works that Jesus did was bearing him witness that he was sent from God. And a lot of people followed Jesus for the miracles and for the food and for a lot of different things. They followed him. But Jesus always in his mind knew that he was working something much greater. He had to come to them and bring to them two things, word and spirit. Word and spirit. He gave them his word, and he says, I will be with you, but I will also be in you. I'm giving you my spirit right now, if you can receive it, by the words that I speak. He said, because the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. How do we receive the life of God? We receive his word. We begin to walk in that life by receiving his word. And every time they followed him and they stayed with him and they continued with him, he talked to them, he spoke to them, he gave them his life by giving them his word. And he did that faithfully unto God because that's who he was. He was giving them life. And there are many, many examples of the miracles and the healings and the deliverances that Jesus brought when he walked in the earth. He remember when there was the man that was, I suppose that there was leprosy, and he was plagued, and he prayed for him. He healed him right there on the spot. God healed him. Everywhere Jesus went and worked the works of God, there were healings, there were miracles, there were deliverances. The Pharisees would get so mad at Jesus because they would say, well, you can't do this on the Sabbath day. And he would say this thing. He would say, which is easier for me to do and to say, arise and walk, or your sins are forgiven? What was he working here? Because you can rise up and walk, but does that mean that you're never going to die now because you received a healing? Or was he showing them that I am forgiving you of your sins? Plagues and sicknesses and diseases. The woman with 18 years that she had this issue of blood, and she reached out to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment because she had this faith in her that was working, that said, if I just touch him, I know I'll be made whole. I know I'll be made whole. We talked about Lazarus. We talked about how Jesus loved Mary and Martha, and he loved his friend Lazarus. But he waited and he tarried for 2 days after he heard the word that Lazarus was sick and that he was going to die. Why would he do that? Why would he wait? He tarried so that he could come to them after Lazarus had been in the dead and already in death, so he could show them that though you be dead, he that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He had to show them that I am greater than just feeding the multitudes. I am greater than the healings that you're going to receive from me, the devils that are getting casted out. I'm going to show you that I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. I am the resurrection and I'm the life. I'm not at all minimizing a healing, a miracle, a deliverance. Because how many of us are sitting in this room because the Spirit of the Lord healed us, touched us, brought us into a deliverance? We experienced an overcoming because of the Word of the Lord, and that brought great joy to us. And because of that, believing and faith began to raise up in our hearts and said, you know what? I know who I'm following now. I'm following the one that can raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. I am the one that is the life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And there were so much of these things that Jesus did to show it. Everywhere he walked in his work, in his ministry, he was showing them that I am the Spirit of life. Is that what's being imparted every time the Word of God comes to us? Is another part of that life? Every time that Word of God comes, it's bringing life to our spirit. It's raising us up. It's healing us. All of these things works in Jesus, in that resurrection. So if you need a healing, Jesus is our life. If you need spirits that are not working in you right to be cast out, Jesus is that life. He's our healer, our deliverer, our savior. Everything we need is in Jesus. Everything. And he was the walking manifestation of that life. And so that's one of the foundations in this teaching here today, in this preaching, that we want to keep in mind, that Jesus is that life. I got another thing here I want to read for you, okay? This was Apostle Paul. This was someone that was fervent in the Lord, a type of Christ that went forth, an anointed Christ. And check this out. In Philippians 3:7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of many things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. Now listen to this, verse 10. All these things he said he counted for loss, and he counted it as dung, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. what was working in his mind. The thought that I will give everything up, everything that I have, everything that I have counted to have gained in anything, I will give it all up for this one thing, for this very one thing, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. And you know what? We can look around and we can say that this is about good versus evil. And I would say yes, absolutely. It's about good versus evil. We could say this is about light versus darkness. Absolutely. It's light versus darkness. We could say many different things, but one thing we cannot forget, the greatest of them all is about death or life triumphing over death. The resurrection prevailing and triumphing and overcoming death. If there was no resurrection and there was no coming forth from the dead, then what would we have to look for? Because you could receive a healing. You could get fed. You can hear revelation. You can hear a great word from God. You can get stirred in the thought of God. All awesome things. But won't we let these things bring us to walking in resurrection and life? They are resurrection and life. They are the life. But Apostle Paul here, he said, this one thing I do, I'm looking for that resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So not only was he looking for the power of his resurrection, but he was also interested and wanted to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. In his sufferings. Because everyone wants to experience and live, right? But no one wants to die. Everyone wants to experience resurrection, but who wants to die? Well, in the mind of Apostle Paul here, and in Jesus, the same mind was working, that they had a joy that was working in them and a glory to know sufferings. Would you think that there would be glory in sufferings? But in the mind of Jesus, there was glory in sufferings. In Apostle Paul, there was a glory that was in suffering. Because if you want to know the glory of God, you're going to have to go through the sufferings of Christ. You'll go through the death. You'll go through Adam. You'll go through the mindset of the carnal mind, the separation, the thought that has to cry out like David has said, that God, you will not leave my soul in hell. I will trust in the Lord. I will believe God. That he will not leave me in this place, but he will work this resurrection in my life. So he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Look what was working in him. And he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect. Listen, that's really amazing to me. He says, not as though I had already attained. I haven't attained yet. I haven't attained unto this resurrection yet. He says, but I follow after it, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of. He's saying that this spirit of the power of resurrection has apprehended me, but yet I have not fully apprehended the bodily resurrection. I have not apprehended it yet. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which were behind me, and I reach forth for those things which are before me. He's saying there's a lot of things I can look back on. I can look back and I could remember when I persecuted the church. I can look back at my weaknesses. I can look back at my sin. I can look at the things where I had misinterpretations, wrong perceptions. I can look at all these things. But I cannot do that anymore. I am apprehended of the spirit and the thought of resurrection and life. I'm apprehended. I am a prisoner of it, right? I am a prisoner of Christ. And the thought and the spirit of resurrection and life has got me. I've seen the Lord. He's spoken to me. He's put in me purpose. He has sent me to the Gentile in which he preaches. This is the spirit and the life that was working in Apostle Paul. The same life that worked in Jesus Christ was the spirit of life and resurrection. Jesus himself, three times in the New Testament, you'll see he raises the dead. He raises the dead three times. Even before he himself was glorified in his resurrection. Even before. But you know what he did? He raised them up from that death. He raised them up from a place of sin. He raised them up in a place where they could not remember God. And he put them in a place where they could be taught, where they could receive the word of the Lord, where they could hear and follow and believe. Because what can you do when you're dead? What can you do? The reason I love that story so much about Lazarus is because it shows that the example that when you are dead, you need God to raise you up. You need the Spirit of the Lord to raise you up. You can't do it. You can't believe. You can't come to God without the Spirit drawing you. You can't come to him. It's the Spirit of God that comes to you in a place of death, and he speaks his word, and he raises you up. Well, that was a very unique example that he did with Lazarus. Why didn't he do that with everybody in that manner? Could it be that when he came up to the apostles and said, "Follow me," that was their raising up? Is it possible that when he forgives you of your sins and you know that God's forgiven you, that he's raising you up? How many different ways has God come to you by his Spirit and begin to raise you up out of the place of sin and death to put you in a place that is going to put you in prophecy for the greatest resurrection of our entire life? I hope we're looking forward to this. I hope it's the hope of God that burns in our hearts, that knows and looks like Apostle Paul did here. He says, "I haven't obtained yet, but I am apprehended by the thought and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that's working in me." Jesus was able to do this and raise up Lazarus and raise up those three people because of the resurrection that worked in them. Because it worked in them. He worked in the spirit of resurrection, and he worked in the spirit of life. So everywhere he went, he could not help but to be that life. He could not help but to be who he was because it was working in him. So here is a thought. While we know that there is greater to come in the Lord, and we have the hope of greater resurrections, we know that the Lord has raised us up from sin and death. We know that he has put his Spirit in us. We know that he has given us life so that we can walk in the mindset of newness in life. We have that ability because of what God did for us. We can walk in the spirit of life because of what he did. We're going to read something here with that being said. I'll read this. Romans chapter, who's got a microphone? Would you read Romans 6 and chapter 4, verse 4, 6 and 4? I'm on another verse right now. We'll let you read that.
6 and 4.
6 and 4.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Awesome. As Christ was raised up, so also should we walk in the newness of life. We are learning by the word of the Lord, and we're being taught by the doctrines of Christ how to walk in newness of life in the mind, in the spirit. The mind is a very powerful thing, because when we have the mind of Christ, we can walk in the spirit of life and resurrection. We don't have to walk in sin and death and be held to the bondage of the fear of death. We walk in newness of life by the Spirit of life and resurrection, by the word of the Lord that's come to us. His word that came to us has raised us up, because it is spirit and it is life and it is resurrection. It's raising us up. And we must talk about then, if we're talking about resurrection this morning, we know we must be talking about 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrection. Read a couple things here for you, okay? It says in verse 12 in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there was a preaching that was going forth and a thought that was going forth saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. And Paul's saying here, how can you say there is no resurrection from the dead? He said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. And Christ, if he is not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is in vain. If there is no resurrection, then our preaching is vain and your faith is in vain. He's saying, what else is there? If Christ didn't raise from the dead, what else is there? We could get together. We could read the Bible. We could talk about wonderful things. But if there's no thought of resurrection working in us, that Christ overcame death, he overcame hell, he overcame the grave, he overcame all of the glory that worked in man, he overcame the glory that worked in the world. How do we know that he overcame all the glory that worked in the world? Because in the temptation, in Matthew chapter 4, when he was being tempted, that was one of the temptations. He said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all the glory of the world. I'll give it all to you. And Jesus wouldn't do it. Jesus would not bow down and worship. He said, because it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. And he would not bow down to the Satan. He would not bow down to that word. He knew who he was. He knew that he was the resurrection and he was the life, and that he was going to overcome all things. So when we're going through our walk with the Lord, and we're going through temptations, we're going through trials, and we're being tested, and we know that God has put us in a place to hear his word and he's raised us up, we have to remember that he has raised us up and put his spirit in us so that we can overcome all things just as he did. Doesn't it say in the Bible that he was the first fruits? Jesus Christ, the first fruit of the brothers? Of the brethren, the first to resurrect, the first to put off the body, the first to overcome death, the first to overcome the Satan in the wilderness and all the temptations where Israel fell. And Jesus did it, and he did it perfectly without sin. And he put off the body, and he put on a new body, and he was not limited. He could go to heaven, come back down to heaven, appear in a form, and he could do that because he was walking now in that glorified state, that glorified body. But you know what? We have this hope and we have this promise, Carrie, that while we're coming to this and this hope is working in us, that there's a spirit of life that he has given us and a spirit of resurrection to walk in the mind of life and the spirit. This is the spirit of God that he has given us. This is the spirit and the earnest of the spirit that he has given to us. Didn't it say it was the earnest? Is it the fullness of the measure yet? Or is it an earnest of our inheritance? He's given us an earnest of our inheritance. I think that if I stood to inherit $1 trillion and someone gave me $1 billion just to get started and said, hey, this is just a small little down payment on what you're going to get, I think I'd be pretty happy with that. But knowing there is so much greater, knowing that there is so much greater in God that he's bringing his people to. When we read the book of Revelation at the end, he talks about there's no more tears, there's no more sorrow, no more suffering. There's no more devil. There's no more death. There's no more body that's afflicted in pain. No more suffering. But we shall be with the Lord. We shall be with God. And so there's a great, great hope, but we must endure. The Bible says that he that endures, the same shall be saved. We must endure to the end. And I know that there's a thought in man that wants to just have it all wrapped up, resurrection, and be with the Lord. But think about the work that the Lord had in the earth to do. He didn't let the disciples and the apostles leave. John 17. He said, I'm not, you're going to be in the world. I'm praying for you. I'm not taking you out of the world, but I'm praying for you that while you're in the world, you'll know the will of God. You'll know your purpose. You'll know who I am. And he sent them and he kept them in the world and he put his spirit in them. And they began to work the works of God. They did the works of Jesus. There was a great work to be done. So look at us in our life. Look at what God's done for us. Look at what he's given us. He didn't leave us alone. He gave us his spirit. He gave us the anointing. He gave us pastors. He gave us preachers. He gave us apostles. He gave us evangelists. He gave us prophets. And he said, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm with you. I'll be in you. Boy, that's so awesome. You know, that's the great thing about words. Words have the ability to go into your mind and into your heart and to conceive. And if they're the right word of God, it has the ability to conceive and bring forth a truth, bring forth fruit, or bring forth children where you're reproducing and bringing forth the word of God, because he's given us the word of God. He's given us his spirit. God is good to us. God is good to us. My encouragement to you here this morning, in which you guys, every time you come together and the preaching of the word goes forth, it's always going to be encouraging the Son of God. Always going to be encouraging the word of the Lord in you. But be encouraged here today in this thought that the Lord has not left us. He has sent us a spirit, the spirit of his Son, the spirit of the Holy Ghost, which is in our hearts, which cries out to God, Abba, Father, cries out to the Lord, I am yours, you are mine. And he gave us a spirit to overcome everything we need. He's given us the spirit to do. And we have help in this ministry. When we get weak at times because of the weariness that works in the flesh, God's given us helps and ministries to help us through these times. We've all needed them, haven't we? We've all needed it. But at the end of the day, when we go away from that meeting, we take something with us. We take his spirit and we put it in our heart and we let that spirit of God begin to speak to us. It says it's the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. So I hope that you're encouraged this morning. I want you guys to just stand with me here this morning. I want to pray with you before we're dismissed. If you guys do have anything you want to talk about or questions, let's talk. I'm here for another full day. So you guys can find me. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate this opportunity. I appreciate Pastor Brian. I appreciate my sister, Christy, and my mom, my dad, everyone here. Wonderful, wonderful people. And I'm thankful for the work of God, aren't you? I bow your heads. Let's say a prayer before the Lord, okay? Lord, we thank you for this word this morning, for your wonderful spirit that you've given us. You have not left us alone, but you're with us, God. Your spirit of resurrection, let it work in our hearts and our minds and everything we do and everywhere we go. Let us work and live in that mind of resurrection and life. Lord, we thank you for your word and what you've done. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be dismissed.